You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Nerd Overload Super Show. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
And we're taking it to the fridge this week with some hot nerd news.
That's right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We have a bunch of news of the pop and geek culture variety. But first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out. Who's been checking stuff out?
Well, I can keep the Mario train rolling because I've been playing Mario Maker 2 a lot that came out last week.
Oh, cool. Okay.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Well, I mean, there is a story mode this time.
Really?
Oh, okay.
If you can call it that.
Yeah.
Undo dog accidentally erases Princess Peach's castle, so you've got to do jobs, which are individual Mario levels, to get coins to pay to build it again.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's the single player component of Mario Maker 2.
Cool. So how is the making? How's the maker part of the Mario Maker?
I have only made one level with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a post-apocalypse version of World 1-1.
Oh, cool.
So it's like that, but everything's falling apart, and it's full of booze and dry bones and stuff.
Nice.
I mean, it's got more features, it's easy to use, and all the good stuff that the original one had, but I was playing it in handheld mode, and the controls are doo-doo garbage if you don't have a stylus.
Oh, really?
They make you use the touchscreen when you're in handheld mode.
Oh, really?
Which is dumb.
Oh, that's bad.
And it just doesn't work very well with your finger. Like it was kind of frustrating to do. So if you're gonna make, which sounds disgusting, you should probably do it docked so you can use the controller to place your blocks and stuff.
Okay.
But it's still the incredibly intuitive course designer that the original was. It just kind of loses something when you don't have the gamepad that the Wii U had.
Yeah. So, did they add any new, like, world skins or anything like that?
Oh, yeah,
to this,
there's a desert one, there's jungle one.
Oh,
There's a lot of new themes you can put on your courses.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And in Mario 1, Mario 3, New Super Mario mode, all these apply.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
There's a ton of new bad guys and items.
I heard that they removed the amiibo support. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's no costumes anymore, which kind
of
stinks, because that was one of my favorite parts of the original game, where any amiibo you tapped would generate a costume for Mario.
Yeah.
And it made it so you could make like fun themed levels around that character, but I guess you can't do that now. It's just all Mario all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a feature that they could eventually patch in if they really felt the need.
Yeah. I just think Nintendo's not as hot on amiibos as they once were.
Well, no, they're not. I think, honestly, I look for them to discontinue the amiibo line once they get through all of the Smash Brothers, honestly, and the Shovel Knight.
Yeah, the Link's Awakening one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess they are still kind of working on them a little bit, but I don't see them sticking with it in another year.
You're just hoping they stop so you don't have to buy anymore.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm really hoping for.
GameStop told me the other day that in the computer they had pre-orders for, like, Fox again and stuff like that.
Oh, they're doing a bunch of re-releases. Sure.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think they're printing.
I didn't know if they were new versions. Mega Man.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is they're reprinting old ones so everyone can get caught up. But once they finish the line for Smash Brothers, I imagine they're probably going to kind of call it.
I wish they would remake those old Smash Brothers ones because they look like crap compared to the new ones.
Oh, yeah. I wish they would, yeah, update them for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won't, but.
No.
I'm just collecting the Zelda ones.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm really doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a full Mario Brothers set except for a Boo that I don't have.
Mm. I have a few. I have a few of the amiibos.
You have a few amiibos, yeah.
Just a couple. Oh. You know, just the ones I really like.
Oh, and I'm only missing two Splatoon ones.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Callie Marie.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Don't lie about the amount of amiibos you have, Sam.
All right.
Our listeners know better.
Yeah. Yeah. You have almost all of them.
I have very close to all of them. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Mario stuff and the intro that we had for the week, one of the things I checked out this week was I watched a handful of Super Mario Brothers Super Show episodes. Boy, is that a trip.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I own those on DVD.
I do, too. And yeah, that show, that is like a weird, like, it kind of, yeah.
It's something else.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really have a whole lot to work with at the time.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of Mario lore, per se.
That, they were just kind of going, doing whatever.
They had Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2 to work from, and mm-hmm. that was it.
Yeah, and it was the guests, like, every episode had guests, but they are rarely good.
And not in the cartoon. This is the live action portion.
Just the live action portion with Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells, I think was the guy's name. Yeah. It's just so weird.
The live action portions are honestly the best part.
They are. Yeah. The animation is so cheap. Like,
there's so many animation errors that happen. There's times when like,
or not just animation errors, but like just production errors too. Because there was like an episode I remember watching where Luigi's talking, but Mario's voice is coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Or, like, they're both the same color.
Mm-hmm.
Or a just random color that neither of them should be. Like,
right. Toad's hat is, like, skin tone or something. Yeah. The live-action segments are nonsensical. Like, one of the ones I watched was a Halloween... I think it was a Halloween episode. It might have just been a random episode that they were able to get Elvira.
Oh, nice.
On. Yeah, she actually showed up a couple times on it, but the whole thing was Luigi was making Mama's famous spaghetti sauce because all of the live-action segments revolved around pasta. And it turns out he accidentally made zombie juice and turned himself into a zombie. So,
like
Mario,
you do.
So Mario called Elvira...
Mistress of the Dark.
Mistress of the Dark to turn him back, but it didn't work and turned him into a mummy and then a werewolf and then... There was something else.
Was this full on boobs out Elvira?
Oh yeah,
on a kids show.
On
wow.
a kids show. Oh yeah, yeah. It was wild. It was bizarre.
I still remember the one where they got the guy who voiced Inspector Gadget to play live action Inspector Gadget.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they had to repair Inspector Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Had like slinky gloves and stuff, and they're like springing his arms.
Yeah.
That set that it takes place on is so freaking iconic to
me. Oh, I love it. Yeah. It is near Pee-wee's Playhouse level of just stuff around. It actually reminds me a lot of the Mario Brothers movie set, kind of. If they would have taken the Mario Brothers TV show set and filtered it through Max Headroom.
If the Mario Brothers movie would have taken more from this version of Mario, mm-hmm. it would have been pretty good.
Yeah. I actually watched a short documentary online, the What Happened.
Yeah, I watched that this morning too.
Yeah. That's really good. I wish they would have stuck with the original script because when they go to the Mushroom Kingdom, it was going to be a Princess Bride like magical fantasy realm.
Oh man.
Instead of weird cyberpunk. I love the cyberpunk look, but it doesn't work for Mario Brothers. Also, who did they have? They were going to cast like a million different people.
Oh,
for, like,
Danny DeVito was almost involved at one point.
He was, yeah. Tom Hanks was almost involved.
Tom Hanks would make a pretty good Super Mario,
I think he would have made, at that time, what was it, 94, 93, something like that? He would have made a great Luigi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely better than John
Leguizamo.
I kind of like Leguizamo
as Luigi.
I kind of do, too. They almost had Schwarzenegger as Koopa.
That would have been great.
That would have been super good.
Can you imagine, like, the growl noises Bowser makes now,
yeah.
but filtered through Schwarzenegger?
Oh, God.
I'll get those plumbers!
What are the plumbers doing in with my kingdom? Get them, Morton Jr.
Oh, it's like that guy at SGDQ. They did a speed run of Last Action Hero for the NES.
Oh my God.
He thought it was a great idea to do a Schwarzenegger impression the entire run.
Oh, awesome.
And it wasn't good.
Yeah. It might have worked if he could do a Schwarzenegger impression, but he couldn't. He kept like going in and out of it.
It's like you're gonna commit to this, right? Yeah. You sure you wanna do that?
Luckily it wasn't a very long run. But it felt long.
It felt, yeah, I bet.
Like
I bet.
Like, if he was dared to do it, I would understand.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no...
I love that movie. I love Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one more thing to say about the Mario Brothers Super Show, and then we can jump on to something else. Like, we just mentioned GDQ, so you can talk about that. One of the episodes I watched had The Legend of Zelda in it.
Nice.
And the animation on that is actually not too bad.
No, that one's animated
they
pretty good.
Did a pretty okay job.
It's just everything else with it is bad.
Yeah, it's not the best. Excuse me, princess.
The Triforce has two pieces.
Yeah.
It's the Two-Force.
It's the Two-Force. Yeah.
I mean, it's still a triangle, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's true. Do you think a show like this could be redone today? Like a Mario Brothers live-action show with animated clips, and could it... Would it be like that? Or could they... Or is there too much lore and too many, like... They would have to jump through too many hoops and things like that.
I don't think kids would go for it.
Really?
Because most kids' animated programs are, like, good now.
True.
I don't think they would fall for this kind of garbage anymore. Honestly.
And yeah. Also, now, who would you get to be the live-action Mario and Luigi?
You'd almost have to cast unknowns.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which can be done, certainly.
Or just, you know, get a...
I don't know.
Charles Martin, they just do voices all the time.
Oh, there we go.
Drake and Josh. What are they doing? Are they doing anything? Can they be Mario and Luigi?
Sure, they can be Mario and Luigi. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next thing.
I forgot to mention I love Samantha Mathis as Princess Daisy in the movie. She's
in the
actually
movies,
pretty good.
She actually does a good job.
She's a good Mario princess.
Yeah.
And they're scary, realistic Yoshi.
Mm-hmm. And Mario's trashy girlfriend that he has.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty great.
That is hilarious to me. Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that movie in so long.
Watch it with the riff tracks. It's pretty good.
Trust the fungus, man. Just trust the fungus.
I mean, it's not the best riff tracks they've done, but mm-hmm. It definitely makes the movie better.
Did you know that in the script, the king of the Mushroom Kingdom's name was King Reznor? Like the Triceratops from Super Mario World? Yeah. Huh.
Trent Reznor.
He should have been played by Trent Reznor.
That would be great.
Anyway, we mentioned SGDQ. That's Summer Games Done Quick. It's a week-long marathon that raises money for Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. And Samantha and I watched it almost nonstop for the entire week. They speed run video games while they raise money for charity, and it's pretty darn entertaining.
That's awesome.
It's done now, unfortunately, but you know, keep an eye out for next time if that sounds entertaining to you, because it's worth watching.
And you can always go back and watch run-throughs. They put them all up on YouTube, and I mean, you can always watch a YouTube clip and then donate a little bit to
Doctors Without Borders,
or, you know, anything like that. Yeah.
It's called Games Done Quick. You should check it out.
Yeah. I've watched a handful of them, and some of them are a lot of fun. I mean, the gameplay is always fun. Sometimes you get people behind that are playing the games that are also kind of forced to be behind a mic. And at least some of those earlier seasons before Twitch was really kind of a big, huge
thing.
And game players and speedrunners weren't also like performers. You get some cringy moments.
I think they've gotten a lot better.
Picking
who they let be on there.
Yeah, yeah. And
they probably also have a larger pool to choose from.
Larger pool, and people who speedrun now are regularly on Twitch. And I mean, even if you're not the best performer,
you get a lot of practice under your belt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does get better. But those first couple of years I did it, man, some of those were like, yeah. And then if you shimmy up this wall here, you can sequence. But I enjoy them as well. Josh, have you done anything?
I checked out a few things.
Sure, let's hear them.
I watched Toy Story 4.
Okay.
Was it the transcendent experience the reviews would have me believe it is?
It's kind of a sad movie.
Toy Story movies these days.
Oh, no, man. It's like...
Or just any Toy Story movie that's not the first one.
I don't know. There's like a lot of stuff of like existential crisis in the movie.
Oh, sure. With... Forky, right?
Not just Forky, like Woody's whole, like, his purpose in life.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's not a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, it's hard to explain, really, without spoiling everything.
Well, don't spoil it, because it's new and it's big enough that people are going to want to go see it.
I mean, it's good. It's definitely one where it was, like, in a sea of Pixar sequels where the others haven't been that great.
Gotcha.
Like, I liked Incredibles 2. I was like, eh.
I don't even know if I would say I liked Incredibles 2. I have mediocre to negative feelings about
like
Incredibles
ambivalent
2.
Towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I still haven't seen that.
How about Cars 2 World Tour?
You know, of all the Pixar films, I have never watched the Cars films.
The first Cars isn't bad.
It's not terrible. It raises a lot of questions if you start thinking about the world in any way, shape, or form.
That's kind of the fun part.
It is, so. Yeah.
But then, and I also didn't, I hated Finding Dory.
I thought it was okay.
I didn't care.
A little heavy-handed.
Yeah. I did not care about Dory's past.
And not terribly necessary, yeah.
Well, okay, speaking of necessary, would you say that this movie was necessary? Because 3 had a pretty finite ending, I felt, to the franchise.
This one feels like a more final ending.
Okay.
Okay. Because that's what, initially, when they announced Toy Story 4, I was completely against it.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have recorded...
We probably do.
...of me complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
But as the trailers had leaked out, well, not leaked out, but came out, and as we got closer to it coming out, it looked like a better and better idea.
You add Key and Peele, and you add Keanu Reeves as Duke Kaboom, Canada's greatest stuntman.
Oh, man, there's some good stuff with him in that one.
Good. I'm really glad Keanu Reeves is getting a kind of a career resurgence. He's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
About when they got that trailer with the Beach Boys music in it, and that's when I'm like, uh-oh. This looks like it's probably good.
Yeah, the Forky stuff's not bad either.
See, that's the thing that I'm really kind of... I mean, I like the idea of, like, home... Like, what about homemade toys and what constitute a toy rather than, like...
Oh, there's almost an after-credit scene that, like...
Really?
Kind of, like, touches on it, too.
Interesting.
Huh. It's not quite an after-credit scene. It's, like, kind of like a Marvel where it's, like, almost like a mid-credit kind of thing.
Mid-roll. Okay.
Mid-roll. Yeah, it's like a mid-roll thing. Yep. But it's a good movie, and it definitely feels more like a this is the end of this saga, this tale.
Okay.
It's done.
I always figured if they're going to do another one, they should just all new toys, if they have to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost say that it would make more sense for like one of the like a Disney Plus series or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. What else did I do? I watched a movie called Loving Vincent.
Okay.
Which came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a movie done... completely in the style of Vincent van Gogh's paintings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about the end of his life.
Oh, interesting.
It takes place a year after he died. And it's mostly about the son of the postmaster from his town trying to deliver a letter that didn't get delivered before he died. Like, it's a very, like, visually impressive film because a lot of scenes and stuff they do pretty much mimic almost exact paintings.
Interesting.
Well, it's kind of neat how they did it, because they dressed everyone up in costumes,
mm-hmm.
and then did, like, the overlay over them.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like, it has, like, people actually acting in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rotoscoped.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot like that. But with, like, a lot of swirling paints and stuff in the look of it.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
It also, like, you know, there were some things, like, I like Van Gogh as a painter and stuff, and I knew some things about his life, but there's other things that, like, I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes, I knew he killed himself, but then the movie makes you think, well, maybe he didn't kill himself.
There's a lot of evidence that points to the contrary on that.
Yeah. But it's a good film, and they touch a lot on that, especially toward the end, like the third act of the film.
Thanks, BuzzFeed Unsolved.
But it was really good. It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you like art and you like artsy independent films, I'd say it's worth a watch.
Cool. Excellent.
Acting in it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else. Oh, I went to Planet 14 in Galleon.
Okay.
And Nicole was visiting her best friend and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
they're like, well, won't you come out? And I'm like, okay, it's been a minute since I've been out, son. I just went out and they fixed some of their games.
Good, they needed to.
Like Tron works now.
Okay, so what is Planet 14?
Planet 14 is Galleon's barcade?
Kinda.
It's a bar with a bunch of arcade games in it. Mm-hmm. And then they have, like, a weird side party room with a stage that sometimes plays live music.
Yeah, and less than good food.
I thought the food was all right.
They must have been having a bad night the night that I went. I went there once years ago, and not a single thing that we ordered was good.
I had the first time I went, I had a burger that was pretty good.
Yeah. I had a burger on a donut.
Mm.
Like, a donut cut in half.
Well, that's gross, so no wonder it was not good.
No, those kind of things are actually usually pretty good, but, like, I had a friend who had, like, chicken wings, and they were not cooked all the way through,
God.
And, like, nothing was right that night. It must have just been a bad night.
Yeah, for the most part, most of the games work. I think on the Guitar Hero machine, I think one of the guitars doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I know on their Western shooter game, one of the guns doesn't work.
Mm. Okay, but it was a...
Yeah, I played games.
Yeah, you played games. It was a good time.
They have the Super Mario Brothers arcade cabinet.
Oh, nice. Nice. That old school thing.
Yeah, where you play, like NES style.
Oh, wait. Was it versus Mario Brothers, or was it a Play Choice 10?
It was versus.
Okay.
It wasn't the one with the... Where it's like in the pipes where you're versus...
Not Mario Brothers.
No, it's not Mario Brothers. It was Super Mario Brothers versus
Super Mario Brothers, yeah.
Yes.
That one's Super Mario Brothers 1, but a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to like halfway through World 4 before I lost.
Yeah, I hate playing Super Mario Brothers with a joystick. It feels wrong. You really need that D-pad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I did.
Nope, okay. That's it. Are we saving the Ava talk for news?
We could start talking about it now because I finished it.
We're like 4 or 5 episodes into the Netflix stuff, but I've seen all of it.
Okay.
Anyway, Neon Genesis Evangelion, the iconic anime, is on Netflix now with a new dub.
Mm-hmm.
I say you should watch it because it's a classic, iconic anime that's very good.
And messes with your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, it is well documented, my opinion on most anime on this show. But yeah, I actually downloaded it a while back and started watching it with an older
with the original
sub.
You watched it with subs?
Yeah, I watched it with subs. And
I've only watched the original dub. I haven't watched the new one yet.
It's the show's pretty good. It gets kind of weird there near the end.
Oh yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets very weird there near the end, but it's one of those shows that I think works better once you know the background behind the creation of the show and like how the creator was like suffering from pretty heavy depression like during the creation of the show and how it influenced like it definitely influenced like the entire story of the. Of the show.
There's definite parts where it feels like Catcher in the Rye, the anime.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I'll be honest. I ended up watching it into like two big chunks because those middle, I want to say 3 or 4 episodes really lost me. Like at one point it becomes like just filler.
Yeah. There's a little bit of filler in there in the middle.
And they're just like episodic that it doesn't really extend the plot all that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I guess the one where like they go into like the volcano had like almost nothing to do with
anything,
and the dancing one had almost nothing to
do
with
anything. I love that one though.
Yeah,
that's a fun episode.
That's like with me in the Dragon Ball Z episode where Goku and Piccolo go get their driver's licenses. Yeah, there is an episode where Goku and Piccolo in Dragon Ball Z had to go get their driver's licenses because Chi-Chi throws a fit about them flying everywhere.
It sounds like you're making this up.
No, it's a legit filler episode.
I see Goku sitting in the BMV.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Picture.
That's great.
It's just that Retzko episode.
Oh,
that was something else I did. I did watch all the second season of Agresco.
We'll talk about that next week when we finished it, because we have like 1 or 2 episodes left.
Okay, sure. But no, along with the Eva thing, and we're going to get into this in the news a little bit, how was the dub?
It's fine.
It's fine?
It's
okay,
fine.
Okay, we'll get into the controversy in a bit.
I think it's
adequate.
Adequate.
Okay.
They're both dubs are adequate and have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, man, I'll tell you one thing I hated.
What?
As far as, like, you're talking about, like, anime dubs?
Yeah.
So, I'm a big fan of the Rurouni Kenshin anime. It was on Toonami and stuff.
That one that pedophile made.
What?
No, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, the guy that made Rurouni Kenshin got arrested for...
Man.
Huh.
Anyway, man, that really breaks my heart. Because you really don't... I'm glad that doesn't translate into the show. So anyway, Rurouni Kenshin is like this turn-of-the-century samurai story. Like, it's 1800s Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came out first... That's when I watched it, and that's when I bought the stuff that came out for it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the dub I got used to. And then years later, it was either on Netflix or Hulu or something. Oh, I'll watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And the dub was completely different.
Oh, really?
Different voice actors and everything.
Yeah.
And like the way they pronounce things. And I was like, oh, I don't like this.
You know what's weird about the Netflix dub of Ava?
Sure.
They pronounce nerve like Nerve. Which
yeah.
is apparently more accurate to the Japanese pronunciation, but boy, does it take a minute to get used to.
Yeah. No, I've heard some things about, yeah, but we'll get into that.
Hmm.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news. Hey, we're back. That was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. You're in the jungle, baby.
You're gonna die. But why did we play that song, you may ask? It's because they released a trailer for Jumanji 2, the next level.
Or 3. Is it 2 or 3? I don't know.
They might not have put the 2 in it. It might just be called Jumanji the Next Level.
It is called Jumanji the Next Level.
So it's a sequel. It's the third in the Jumanji series. It's a sequel to...
Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle, which is the second in the... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
In the Jumanji extended universe.
Yeah, this is weird.
Does that include Zanthura?
I would like to think so.
Is that part of
Zanthura? You know, I have never watched it.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Like, I remember seeing the trailers for it, and I was like, it was really close to when Jumanji was still popular, and I was like, it's Jumanji in space.
Yeah.
Your movie can only be so good...
If it has Dax Shepard in it.
Yeah, that was the joke. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
The spaceman in Zanthura.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
It's fine. Yeah. Anyway, this Jumanji 2, 3, whatever, it looks good.
Jumanji sequel.
The Jumanji sequel.
Jumanji 2.5.
It looks like everyone's back. Everyone's coming back for this. You know, The Rock's there. Kevin Hart. Tiny, tiny Kevin Hart is there.
I love how they keep making fun of Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Not only does he get it from Twitter all the time, from The Rock himself.
Yeah.
Man, I do not like Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I don't see what the hype is. Yeah, I don't think he's very funny. And he seems kind of like a jerk. But
a little bit, yeah. Seems like one of those that let the celebrity kind of... go to his head a little.
He's got short man syndrome.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, none of us have that.
No, yeah.
But this movie is different in that the human characters that get sucked into the game, the roles get kind of shuffled around. And also Danny DeVito's there.
Yeah.
Playing a grandpa.
Playing The Rock, who's a grandpa. And that's pretty great.
Yeah.
So yeah, now instead of jokes about kids in adult bodies, we have... jokes about old dudes in
young bodies.
So.
Yeah.
That sounded really creepy when you lay it out like that.
Yeah, when you actually say it out loud,
yeah,
sure.
But that is what the movie is about.
Mm-hmm. But the trailer makes it fun.
Yeah.
The trailer makes it seem fun.
Yeah.
Also, I guess the game is, they hint at maybe the game is glitching out or something.
It's been modded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely looks like he was modding the game
mm-hmm.
beforehand, so I don't know if maybe he somehow programmed a new level. Or maybe the game itself, because it's in its magical, weird nature,
mm-hmm.
mutated?
Something like that.
I mean, it already turned from a board game into a video game somehow.
So it could do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
The next movie, it's a VR headset or something.
I'm surprised they didn't go that right.
It's a mobile game. It's a magical cell phone.
Yeah.
No. Board games are popular again.
Oh,
let's go back to being a board game again.
Yeah, that's what didn't make sense to me the first time around. It's like board games are more popular than ever, and you're turning Jumanji into a video game.
It almost seems like the script is like 5 years older than it was written way earlier.
It probably was.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like, you know, the Cones of Dunshire movie. It's about the cones.
but no, I mean, the trailer looks fine. I enjoyed the last one, so
I still need to watch it.
It's good. I would recommend it.
The mobile phone Jumanji 4, where to keep playing the game, they have to sit and wait 20 minutes or pay.
Every time they do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be like they'll make the next movie like 4 years down the road when people don't care about Pokemon Go or Wizards Unite.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be like one of those type of games.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, shoot. We should have talked about Wizards Unite.
Let's talk about it now.
I hate it.
I uninstalled it from my phone. Wizards Unite is the Pokemon Go for Harry Potter.
Did Niantic make this too?
Yes, they did.
And it's like it's Pokemon Go, but worse.
Yeah.
Man, I love how Niantic made a game where almost nobody played it, Ingress.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically took that system and put a Pokemon skin on it and became super popular.
Yeah.
And now they're doing the exact same thing with mm-hmm. Harry Potter.
Right. But the difference here is they really highlight the microtransactions in this one. Like the bag space for like saving up like items or
it's
whatever.
Way too small.
It's way too small. and they divide it up so even if you have plenty of bag space in one compartment or whatever, you're still going to run out in others.
There's like three different kinds of items.
Yeah.
You have spell energy that works the same way as Pokeballs, where if you just run out, you better go find the AT&T store.
Basically.
Because that's the only Harry Potter inn in town that can give you energy.
Yeah.
Really?
The only one I can find. There's probably one on campus.
I'm sure there's one on campus somewhere. And it's like...
And you don't know how much energy you're going to get. There's a couple times where I spun it and I got two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like totally randomized.
Which means you can do like two actions.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a guaranteed catch or anything like that. My biggest problem is Harry Potter is iconic because of the story and the characters. The magical creatures and artifacts from Harry Potter are not necessarily as iconic as Pokemon. I could care less about catching a Bogurt. I could care less about, you know, it's the ledger that for Hogwarts with all the names of all the students. Oh no, it's being attacked by an evil chain and lock, and you have to use your wizard spell to unlock it. I don't care.
The whole conceit doesn't work the same because Harry Potter is not Pokemon.
Yeah. And people talking about, oh, but this one has a story. There's actual like plot story progression and stuff like that. There's special research things in Pokemon Go. It doesn't pop up often, but there is story stuff in that. The one thing I do like about this is about Wizards Unite, and I kind of hope it gets transferred over to Pokemon Go. There is a skill tree.
Like, you get
certain items, and it, like, depending on what team you're on, basically, and you unlock certain skills, that makes, like, catching a certain type of thing easier. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you get more defense when you're fighting vampires, which I don't think are actual Harry Potter things, but
no, there's vampires.
There's vampires in Harry Potter? Okay, because they're in the game. You have to fight a vampire at some point.
There's werewolves.
I think they're briefly mentioned in the books,
but nothing really highlights them.
Yeah, nothing comes out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the skill tree aspect because that makes it more of a game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I like the fact that you get to choose a profession too.
Yeah. But the profession is basically just your teams. I mean, it's analogous to your instinct
because the skill trees are different and put you in a different class, like character builds.
Right.
The auras are good at combat. The magizoologists are a support class, and the professors are kind of a mix between.
But that's
two.
What I'm saying. If they were to move that into Pokemon Go and give the three different colored teams, like, make them a little bit different with the skill tree.
Other than just a logo?
Yeah.
Other than just a logo.
But that's not very Pokemon-y, though.
I guess.
It would be cool, but I don't think it fits the franchise.
Yeah, I suppose.
I feel like there could have been better ways to do the whole Harry Potter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the franchise just doesn't mix with it like Pokemon does.
Also, the fact that Pokemon gets refreshed every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter as a whole has been kind of stale for a while.
Yeah.
And then this is coming from somebody who likes that franchise.
What doesn't help is there's no mainline Harry Potter movies out right now to coincide with it.
Nope.
You have the Magical Beasts.
The Newt Scamander films.
I got halfway through the...
Crimes of Grindelwald?
No.
The Crimes of Grundlegrab.
The book that was based on the stage play.
Oh, the Curious Child or
Cursed
the
Child.
Cursed Child. Yes,
the
I got halfway through that book and I hate it. I hate it so much.
It doesn't
feel the same.
Yeah.
Also, it makes you really hate the character. Like, he's so annoying.
Oh, the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Harry Potter's son.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just it's angst the whole way through, and I can't stand it.
So it's like the fourth Harry Potter book.
Yeah, it's the Order of the Phoenix. It's like the beginning of that book, I hated. I hate the beginning of that book.
That's actually where I dropped off reading the books.
It's a rough read.
That's where I dropped off the first time.
Yeah.
Like the first time I read through the books, like when they were new and fresh and everything, I dropped that one, and I didn't pick it back up again until the last book was getting ready to come out, and then I steamrolled through them.
Harry's a real brat in that one.
It's a whole book of that.
That whole first chapter about how much he hates living with his, I mean, with his aunt and uncle and stuff. And,
yeah.
Which, I mean, I get. They're jerks.
No one's sending me letters. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
Dumbledore's not talking to me. Blah, blah, blah.
Bad. It's bad. It's
terrible.
But anyway, we were talking about movie trailers before the Wizards Unite thing. So let's talk about some more trailers. What kind of trailers do we have?
We have Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, let's talk about Charlie's Angels.
Which is also not a sequel. It's a reboot.
Reboot, sure, yeah.
I don't know. It looks fun. It doesn't look like the show. I don't know. I never actually watched the show, so I have no...
I watched a few episodes when I was younger of Charlie's Angels, and then I watched one and a half of the newer ones with Lucy Liu.
Oh, yeah. I liked those movies. Those seemed more like the show than this does. Because those are more like straight-up spy type.
Yeah.
Shows where this, I mean, it's there's spy work in there, but it's also like,
yeah, just, I feel like they could have, you could have called this movie anything else, and it could have been the exact same movie, the exact same story, the exact same setup. It just looks like an action flick.
Yeah,
there's nothing that really stands out of this is Charlie's Angels other than you have three women spies and then a disembodied voice in a box.
But I guess at this point, who cares about the original conceit?
This is true. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah, yeah, it's a show from the 70s.
Like, yeah,
you could have called this the Totally Spies movie.
There's an idea.
There we go.
I know, right? I was thinking about it because, like, Patrick Stewart's in this, and I'm like, oh man, he would have been a great. What's his name? Gary.
Whoever that guy's name was.
Yeah, they're basically their British butler boss or whatever.
Yeah. But the cast in this looks pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Elizabeth Banks as Bosley is pretty cool.
She's always good in everything.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Banks.
She was good in the friggin' Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of Power Rangers, she chewed up that scene every time.
Naomi Scott, who was the Pink Ranger in that movie, is the new recruit, third angel, I guess, in this.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Stewart, who I've always said has gotten kind of a bad rap because of the Twilight movies where she had to play a character with no personality. And
I
clearly,
think they're letting her do her thing. Yeah. I think it works.
Yeah.
She definitely seems more emotive, expressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't care for her in what bits I saw of the Snow White film.
But again, that's a movie where she was being kind of told, hey, play this like you have no personality.
Yeah.
She was fine in, what was it, the Runaways movie about, or the...
Yeah, I think she's in that. Yeah.
She wasn't Joan Jett, was she?
She might have been.
Yeah, she might have been. Yeah. Well, whatever she was in that movie, she was in that
MK Ultra like stoner movie.
But that was bad because it was Max Landis.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
That whole thing.
Max Landis thing. If you go back, okay, we're not going to get into it on the show because it's like not fun discussion talk.
No,
because it sucks.
It really sucks. But if you go back on our show, we have said for a long, it's been this show's policy that Max Landis sucks and he is a bad dude. And as it turns out, we were correct.
This is my surprised Pikachu phase.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Kristen Stewart was Joan Jett.
Yeah. And she did a fine job in that because she was allowed to actually
have fun.
Act.
I'll probably watch it at some point.
Yeah. I'll see this movie.
I don't know if I'll see it in theater, but
a cheap theater. This will be a Marion. I mean, like a $5.
Dude, I watch all my movies in Marion anymore.
Yeah, same here.
I don't feel like driving all the way to Columbus to pay $16 for the same film I can get for $5.
Well, true.
But you get to sit in a seat that reclines all the way back.
You're not wrong. Anyway.
And you can buy Greg Marcus's stale pretzel bites.
Mmm, delicious. All right, so the other... the other movie news that we have, it's not really a trailer so much. Yeah, go ahead.
They bought Movie Tavern.
Oh, they did.
The Marcus bought Movie Tavern.
Oh, no way.
So now they're a conglomerate.
Another reason to go back to Hilliard.
Yeah.
Because didn't they close the one in Hilliard for a while?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought they might have.
I don't know. I hope they bring some of that food service to the Marcus.
That would be pretty great.
Columbus, because that rules.
That would be pretty great.
Wait, which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Well, there's the Marcus by Polaris.
That's a Cinemark.
Oh,
right.
This is the one by the 270.
Yeah, 171
split. Yeah. Anyway, other movie news. So I guess they're working on new Ghostbusters. This is a known thing. We talked about this before.
And excitement, at least for us, has been minimal.
Minimal. I mean, we like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I love Ghostbusters. But Jason Reitman's directing it, and he said some like
not cool stuff.
Yeah, kind of boneheaded garbage.
But they did a little teaser thing, kinda, announcing that Paul Rudd is going to be in this new Ghostbusters movie. And
it wasn't
some
so much
capacity.
Them themselves, but it was more Paul Rudd talking, on his Twitter
talking about it
in front of the building.
But you know, they
oh yeah, they gave him permission to do that. Yeah.
And we've said on this show multiple times that Paul Rudd is a great dude.
Yeah, he is a great dude.
And we are right.
Yep.
he's a national treasure.
But my excitement for this has gone up.
Yeah, I've gone from a 2 to a 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think with the popularity of the MCU and everything and pulling Paul Rudd, mm-hmm. even though he is kind of a minor-ish MCU character.
He's not a minor. He's a main character.
I would say Endgame escalated him to main character status.
Yeah. I think before the movies, I don't think as many people cared about the Ant-Man character.
I would say that, I know, Cody, you really like Doctor Strange, but when it comes to the MCU, I think more people recognize Ant-Man as a leading character than Doctor Strange at this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he had 2 movies versus Doctor Strange's 1, and he's done a lot more in the other movies.
Even at that, Ant-Man has at least a differing personality than
Magical Tony Stark?
Yeah. Magic Tony Stark. Yeah.
And the Ant-Man movies are hands down way better than Doctor Strange
was. Oh, sure.
Was.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They're fun. They're fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul Rudd, I mean, he's going to let him ride that train.
Sure. I know it's not going to be a reboot, but I can see Paul Rudd filling the Bill Murray, Peter Venkman type
slot. Yeah.
Role in this, which is great. Although he could also be kind of like the slightly kind of in the clouds kind of
Ray.
Yeah. I could see it go either way with that.
I'd like to see him more be emotive and be like Venkman.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Cody, you mentioned that it doesn't look like they're going to be referencing the all-female cast Ghostbusters in this new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Which is a bummer, yeah.
Because that movie wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, it kind of got a bad shake. And I think that the controversy surrounding its release, I don't want to say tainted's not the right word, but it definitely kind of
manipulated feelings.
Kind of.
It's a weird thing because
everything Ghostbusters related has too high of a expectation attached to it to begin with.
I agreed.
And then you had the sexist jerks harping on it.
Which was awful. You also had the marketing lean into that, like doubling down on dunking on them, which almost seemed like they would be better off promoting the movie and trying to ignore that a little. I mean, you know, recognizing it, but like not leaning so heavily of the marketing into, look how much people hate this. You're going to love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the whole marketing around it was just bad all the way around from every angle, I think.
Also the fact, you know, of the original cast cameos for the most part, kind of phoning it in. I think.
Well, Bill Murray phoned it in.
Yo,
he
definitely
did not care.
Yeah.
He walked into a room, sat in a chair, and that was it.
And died. And he wasn't even playing Venkman.
He wasn't. Yeah. It was. But
he better not cameo as Venkman in this movie. If he didn't do it in the other one, he better not do it in this one.
The only way that. Yeah. However, this one is supposed to be like a direct continuation from Ghostbusters 2.
That's true.
Which means there's a better chance that they're going to show up. Plus, with it being Ivan Reitman's kid directing it, it's going to happen. I'm calling my shot. It's going to happen. That is a bummer.
I mean, I kind of hope this is kind of along the lines of like that one Ghostbusters game.
Oh, where they start the new franchise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Ghostbusters game, like the Ghostbusters game?
Like the one that we played, where you play the new recruit to the team.
The one that's actually Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah,
right.
Well, sort of, because that game rehashes a lot of scenes from the other movies.
Well, so does Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Anyway, Paul Rudd and Ghostbusters.
Yeah, let's not talk about Ghostbusters anymore. I don't want to be that podcast.
Yeah, let's not do that. So, we'll hit on this real quick. We mentioned, because we're talking about Evangelion, the show in the first half.
Yes.
So, like we said, it came to Netflix, and I guess, and I don't know much about this, but I guess there were some pretty glaring changes to the
English dub.
The translation this time around.
This time, the translation is a lot more literal to the Japanese version. It's not as well localized, which has its pros and its cons.
Sure.
One of the things people were upset about is that towards the end, there's a guy that Shinji kind of falls in, they kind of fall in love with each other.
Kind of.
And in the dub, he tells Shinji, "I love you." And in the original dub, he says mm-hmm. that. In the Netflix dub, he says, "I like you."
Which doesn't sound like much, but in this, in our current culture and, you know, LGBT erasure and that sort of thing is a real thing that we have to kind of watch out for. It's weird. It puts a weird taste in everyone's mouth a little bit with that one little bit of a change, which again, doesn't sound like much, but it's kind of a big deal.
If this was the, like back when it came out in 1995, mm-hmm. that was like one of the lone LGBT related things you could latch onto.
Yeah.
It wasn't as prevalent as it is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to take that away kind of does feel kind of crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's a little more accurate to the Japanese script.
Yeah.
And also the scene is still pretty darn gay.
it sure is. Yeah. I guess I don't really know how to feel about this one because
it's complicated.
It's very complicated.
Exactly.
And like, on the one hand, I definitely, you know, I could definitely see the reason to be upset about this change. On the other hand, one line of dialogue in an already, like you mentioned, pretty gay scene. They're in a bathhouse or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? And holding hands.
Yeah. I don't know why. It seems like there are better hills for people to die on when it comes to this kind of argument.
I mean, I don't want to tell people what to
do. Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know. It seems...
The best thing about it,
there's no right answer.
Yeah, there's no right answer.
Amanda Wynn Lee, the person who helped with the localization and is the voice of Rey in the original dub, mm-hmm. said when they did the dub, they got crap all the time for taking liberties with it. Mm-hmm. And now that they have a translation that's almost exactly literal, people are mad about that. So there's no way to win.
And how much of it is it because there is a precedent for it being the other way for so long? Like, if it was originally translated a little more literally the first time around, if it would have been reversed, if back in the 90s, the translation was I like, and in today it would have been I love, would there be as big of an issue, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Would people be up in arms about the change or anything like that?
I don't think so. This takes it from being concrete
to ambiguous.
Yeah.
But moving on from this, there were some other issues with this translation and what Netflix has done with the show. The big one was the song at the end. The end credits has always been a cover, various covers of Fly Me to the Moon. And a lot of times that was like done on purpose on the show as kind of a dissonance between like the end of the show and then it cuts to the song and everything.
Yeah.
And Netflix completely removed it.
Now you get a piano cover of Ray's theme, I think.
Which I can't even pick. I can't even hear that in my head.
Yeah, it just sounds like piano
music
tinkling.
Yeah, and that's people were upset about that. There were some other changes of script
there. That kind of stinks, but mm-hmm. it's also like it's either that or not get the show at all. Like,
yeah, yeah. I just
It's a perfectly reasonable way to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad dub by any means. It's not a great dub either.
Mm-hmm.
But
not that the original dub was that good either.
Yeah, the original dub wasn't.
90s anime dubs are historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really bad. Either they're trying to match the mouths for some reason with words that aren't even there,
mm-hmm.
or just bad voice acting.
And Evangelion was one of the better ones, but still not great.
Not good. No.
Yeah, it's not Fooly Cooly's dub. There's a good dub. That dub is so good. I would say watch that over the subs. It's an excellent dub.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the My Hero dub.
Yeah, My Hero dub's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't hear All Might any other way.
Yeah. But definitely watch Evangelion. Don't listen to all these people whining about the dub. It's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a glowing
it's not,
review.
Yeah. But
you're not going to get it any other way.
Right.
I mean, unless you learn Japanese.
Right. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Like I said, just be glad you have it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we're having a subs and dubs conversation in 2019.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand, like, back in the day when dubbing was real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got, like, you know, professional voice now, actors.
Yeah, anime dubbing has gotten a lot better.
I don't know. I think it just depends on how you watch it, maybe. I don't know. It is a kind of a weird conversation to have in this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a Chromecast, not a Chromecast, a Chrome extension that will play Fly Me to the Moon when you finish an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, I did read something about that. That's pretty good. All right. So speaking of Netflix decisions that people are kind of maybe a little upset about, apparently The Office is being removed from Netflix. Here in what, like...
2 years?
Two years.
2021.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of time to watch
that show.
Fifth time.
Yeah.
But people are losing their mind over it, and it's like...
I mean, I get it. It's a good show to put on in the background when you're doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
where you could, you know, laugh at it, but not have to pay complete attention to it.
And it's, right. I'm sure it's a comfort show for some mm-hmm. people.
Sure.
Too.
That's how I used to be with Arrested Development. Whenever I needed to get something done but wanted something just in the background that I could laugh at, it was Arrested Development.
King of the Hill is like that for my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, King of the Hill, sure. Yeah, yeah.
But you should see some of the comments on the change.org petition. Oh, they are just nuts. Like, people think that The Office is a human need akin to... food, shelter, and water.
Oh my God, really?
One of them was like, NBC's going to take it away and they're probably going to charge for it. And it's like, hey, dude,
yeah?
You're already paying for, you pay for Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix, it costs money on Netflix too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is a perfect opportunity to maybe watch a different show.
Pick
for
something
God's
else.
Sake.
Yeah. There's a million different shows on Netflix.
Literally hundreds.
Yeah, there's literally hundreds of shows. Did you watch Russian Doll? You know, that's good. Why, it's nothing like The Office at all, but it's a good show and everybody should watch it.
Hey, guess what? Parks and Rec.
It's
is also leaving.
Oh, it's also leaving?
It's in BC too, so it's not gonna stick around.
Yep, right.
But Parks and Rec is better than The Office.
I agree. Yeah.
I'd die on that hill.
Sure. Yeah, same here.
I mean, I don't want to diss on people for liking The Office, but it's the most basic, middle-of-the-road television program of all time.
Especially after Steve Carell's character, at least.
Yeah, it should have ended there.
I've said for a long time, it could have ended once at the Jim and Pam wedding, and it could have ended again at the Steve Carell leaving, and it didn't do it either time, and the show got... incrementally worse because of it.
It's just the Friends of the millennial generation. Like, Friends was the Gen X mm-hmm. Office. Office is... it's so basic.
It's comfort food. It's it's popcorn.
I've watched The Office once, and I feel like I get all the references.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it once. That was good.
Yeah.
I don't feel any need to go back.
I'm not
a person that watches the same thing a lot, though.
Yeah, same.
Me either. I don't really... I've only rewatched a couple things, and that's mostly because the new season was coming. Like, I rewatched Disenchantment because the new season is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Agretzko because the new season was coming. And I wanted to, like, everything to be fresh in my head again.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is try something else.
Yeah.
Try a different show.
It's not a disaster.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Chill out.
Mm-hmm.
How about if you love the show so much, buy the DVDs? You know, support the show that way.
Mm-hmm.
You ding-dongs.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, we have hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You have social media? You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
We're also on various places you can find podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now if you want to help support the show and get your episodes a few days earlier than it ends up in our regular feed. And we have t-shirts, bit.ly/nerdoverloadt. They're pretty great shirts.
Yep, or go to nerdoverload.com and hit the store link.
And hit the store link, that's right. So anyway, again, that wraps up the show. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.